Welcome to Textination. Joining me today is Josh Geigel, co-founder and president of engineering at, we'll use the new name, Virgin Hyperloop One. Thanks for being here, Josh.
Excellent. Thank you, Chris, for having me.
Well, Hyperloop is a name Elon Musk unveiled about 4 years ago to describe a new kind of transportation using electromagnetically levitated pods that travel at high speeds, about 700 miles an hour, through tubes. He opened the idea up for others, and in stepped Hyperloop One. You've been making great strides towards turning the concept into a reality, and now you have Sir Richard Branson aboard as an investor, thus the new name, Virgin Hyperloop One. How big of a deal is his involvement to the company?
You know, I think it's a real testament to what we built here. Almost a little less than 3 years ago, we were just two people in a garage, and we've done a lot of work with a team up to about 300 people, done a lot of prototyping demonstration out in the desert. And that's somebody with kind of the ethos and brand that Richard does as we move towards commercialization. It's really exciting because when you fly on Virgin, it's very distinctive feel, and we're creating a new mode of transportation, and we want that same excitement. We want to put the fun back into travel. And these guys have done that and historically done it very well. So I think it's a real testament to where we're going and that people are ready and they believe in the technology to help us commercialize it and completely redefine the user experience.
So this is, it means more than just the monetary investment.
Oh, yeah.
How far along are we here? Is your goal of having the first systems running in 2021 realistic?
We think so. And we've been pushing, you know, we've done a prototype here over the course of the last year, really. And we're moving throughout a lot of countries in the world. So the UAE and Dubai, the Netherlands, Finland, even in the U.S. now, people are really starting to take notice that this is moving faster than they thought. So now governments around the world and states in the U.S. are lining up to start figuring out how to get a Hyperloop in their particular state. So I think what we thought was going to be the hardest part, which wasn't the tech, which was getting adoption and getting people excited about that, has actually moved at a pace that we didn't even anticipate. So it's really exciting to have so many people interested in wanting to have this and even to an extent vying for the first one.
So what comes next in terms of selecting where these are going to be built first?
So in a couple different areas, we've been in Dubai. We actually opened a Dubai office, and we've been there for a little over a year now. And in the Finland area and the Netherlands area, those have been moving very well. The U.S., we just opened a route or a study in Colorado, as well as Missouri and Texas. And so those are all moving to the spot of what does it take to get built. So before you actually can build it, you have to do in the industry what's called a feasibility study and make sure that you understand where you're going to put it, how you're going to pay for it, and ultimately how it's going to get regulated. So that's the first step before you can actually build, and we're moving through those with quite a few different places now. So I feel very, very confident.
Now, from an engineering perspective, you're president of engineering. What are the biggest obstacles you face now? What needs to be done?
We demonstrated in the desert in Nevada over the course of the last year and a half is that all of the fundamental aspects of the technology work, magnetic levitation, the electric propulsion, the vacuum, the tube, the control system. And now we need to commercialize that. We need to actually make sure that this can work for 20 or 30 years because this is a public transportation system. You know, it can't work for 1 year and then you have to redo the whole thing. So that's really where we're moving on the tech side, which is putting and developing the life requirements for that. And then what we're doing with that is actually figuring out how to get it certified because it's not a plane, it's not a train, it's not a boat, it's not a car. So you can't use all of those standards just as is. So we're working with different departments of transportation, some of our partners that are operators like Virgin, and they're going to help us get this certified so that we can put people on it and eventually goods and eventually people.
Now, what do you envision the passenger experience is going to be like? I don't know how many people pods can accommodate, and there are things that G-forces maybe to worry about when you're traveling that fast.
Yeah, no, exactly right. What we envision the passenger experience, you know, when you go to the airport, you have that anxiety of maybe missing your flight, right? We actually want to remove the ability to miss your train or miss your plane. You know, you're not going to be able to miss a Hyperloop because they go when you want them to go. Or if you do get there a little late, there's another one going in a minute or 2 minutes. So each one of these pods has maybe 40 or 50 people in it. And you can load those very quickly. You can have them going through the tube about 10 seconds apart. And that allows you to go direct to your destination. So you're not going to stop between, you know, if you're going from L.A. to San Francisco, you're not going to stop in Santa Barbara. And that kind of gives you an idea of if you're going to Santa Barbara, you're just going to go to Santa Barbara. You won't have that other stops along the way. And for the experience itself, you know, one of the big reasons we felt Virgin was a great partner for us is that they redefined the passenger experience when it came to airplanes. So prior to them coming in, you know, airplanes were very, I'll say, cookie cutter. And they kind of came in, they redid it, they brought a little bit more of flair to it. And then ultimately just really, really believe that the customer should be first. And so as we're designing this, you know, the experience won't feel all that different from an aircraft to takeoff. And then once you're cruising, you won't have turbulence, you know, your martini won't spill, all of that good stuff. And, you know, Virgin has a great track record of doing that. So that's really one of the big reasons we brought them in as well.
There's a lot going on when it comes to the world of autonomous vehicles today. Do you see the Hyperloop as being related in some respects or tying in with a transport system where we have driverless cars picking people up from the Hyperloop, et cetera?
Oh, yeah. So I just had a couple meetings in San Francisco yesterday. And if you looked at my experience, you know, I booked an Uber from my house to get to the airport, then a plane ticket, which I had booked separately, then another Uber on the backside to get to the meeting. And instead of going to San Francisco for a meeting, I'm just going to my meeting in San Francisco. And by going there, you're going to your final destination, and the whole thing should be seamless. So whether it be the Uber or the Lyft or the rideshare that comes to pick you up, it ends up taking you to the Hyperloop portal. You get on the Hyperloop. Your destination already knows you're coming, so you don't have that awkward waiting at the end. You just come out. You know there's going to be somebody there for you, and you get to the end. So if you want to go to dinner in New York City, then you're booking dinner, and you can include the transportation to dinner. So all the different modes, whether it be, you know, metro system that we tie into or vertical takeoff, landing vehicle, autonomous car, I think that the stations of the future, the Hyperloop stations, are going to be something that isn't really even imagined at this point, and that's what the exciting part is.
Well, we're really looking forward to seeing all of this become a reality. Josh Geigel, thanks for taking the time with us.
Oh, excellent. Thank you so much, Rick.
Now this. We've been telling you about the great products and great people at Sea Crane for years, and the lineup just keeps getting better. The CC Wi-Fi radio is a personal favorite that lets you tune in to radio stations from all around the world via the Internet. More than 16,000 in all. When the weather turns nasty, the CC Lantern will light the way with LED bulbs and never run out of power. You can charge it up from any USB source or the 12-volt socket in your car, or you can simply grab the hand crank on top and wind. Need an even more powerful solution? The CC LED Spot XB runs on standard batteries and puts out nearly the equivalent of a 100-watt light bulb. You'll find those bright ideas and a lot more to like by clicking on the link to Sea Crane at textination.com. Put in the code TEXTINATION for a free flashlight with your order. Sea Crane, they've been making customers loyal for decades.